Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and I am joined by Cotrere. This week we are going to be discussing the part two of 1996 WCW. How you doing, Cotrere?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Still have that new bed I was discussing last week. It's the greatest thing in the world, man. It's so comfortable. I cannot say enough good words about it. It's just awesome.
Nothing better than a comfortable bed.
It's the truth. I mean, honestly, you're there half your life. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's just awesome. And just wanted to plug our host website, superfriendsuniverse.com. If you want to go to the chat with us, it's superfriendsuniverse.com/chat. So let's go ahead and get into where we left off. Where did we leave off last week?
I believe we left off. We were about to hit the Super Brawl, Super Brawl 6, I believe.
I believe it was Super Brawl. Yeah, 1996 Super Brawl. So, what's famous about this particular Super Brawl is the whole Brian Pillman incident. And
yeah.
You know, it was kind of a big thing that rocked wrestling world, if you will. You know, it kind of all started with it was a work, wasn't it? Like it was Eric Bischoff and Brian Pillman came up with this plan. Well, it was actually
Kevin Sullivan was in on it too.
Yeah, Kevin Sullivan might have been
the booker.
Okay.
Yeah, who's the booker? He was in on it with him.
Yes, he had to have been. He had to have been. I kind of like hear like a staticky thing. Is that you? I'm sorry, I just want to clear this up at the beginning of the show. I hear like almost like a popping noise.
I don't hear anything.
Okay, then maybe it's just my phone. Okay. All right, well, we're at Super Brawl. It was in St. Petersburg, Florida, and the main event of the show is Hogan versus the Giant for the world title. Not for the world title, but in a steel
Randy Savage
match.
And Ric Flair.
Yeah, Randy Savage and Ric Flair was for the world title. The Hogan and the Giant was just a steel cage match. Sorry about that. All right, well, let's put this Kevin Sullivan, Brian Pillman match that they were going to have. So it's going to be a respect match because they're feuding with each other, even though they're kind of on the same team, like, you know, against Hogan in a way. But they're feuding with each other, and they come out to have the strap match. And just go ahead and describe the scenario because you do better than I do.
Yeah, they had been, I mean, they were both heels, but they were trying to unite the Horsemen and the Dungeon of Doom, you know, to go after Hogan. And Pillman was doing loose cannon bit, and the Horsemen were kind of getting fed up with him. And I remember there was one Nitro where Arn Anderson, like, slapped him and stuff like that. It was a respect match. It was also a strap match at the same time. And so they come to the ring, and I don't know how many minutes in this was. I don't think it was very long. It was 53 seconds. At about the 53
seconds. It was definitely not very long.
No, it was about the 53-second mark. Pillman just grabs the mic. Because the rules were that the only way you could lose the match was say, I respect you over the microphone. You know, like an I Quit match. And so...
Yes.
So he grabs the microphone and says, I respect you, Booker man. And then he leaves the ring. And I doubt many people knew what that was about. I didn't know what it was about when I heard it. It was like the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Because, you know, I wasn't like reading newsletters and stuff like that at the time. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. And
no one did.
Yeah, and then like Arn Anderson and Pillman leaves, and then Arn Anderson comes out and he does the match. You know, his him and Kevin Sullivan. And then I think finally Ric Flair comes out and breaks them up, and then finally gets them like to shake hands and, you know, work together. And I don't know, this is a very weird match.
It was the story of it was Brian Pillman wanted a full release from his contract so they could work the boys. They wanted to work the boys and make people believe that, you know, he's really leaving, but he was actually doing it to get leverage to either get a better contract from WCW or a contract from WWF. And he also ended up showing up in ECW.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome. It's just great.
Did you see his first appearance in ECW?
Oh,
when he first showed?
Yes. It was awesome.
He was calling that place that place was a shithole, and he's getting going to whip my Johnson out and piss right in his place. It was awesome.
Yes, and so, like, at the time, he's, like, the hottest free agent in the world. You know, like, everybody wanted to sign him, and Eric Bischoff really gave him his release, so he was free to go wherever he wanted to go. And he had this 900 hotline that was making thousands of dollars for him every single week, and he was making money. And then, he had a prescription drug problem. Even though they say he was sober, he wasn't.
Had this problem probably back then.
Yeah, yes. And Dave Meltzer even said that he had issues. And he ended up getting an accident in his Hummer. He flew out of the car, and all of a sudden he has a bad leg, badly crushed ankle. So, you know, he's the house free agent, but this happens to him, and it kind of derails him a bit, but the WWF still ends up signing him. And
yeah, WWF was really desperate at that time because, I mean, they signed a guy with a destroyed ankle. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and he's one of the first people to get a guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
Brian Pillman was, even though he was injured, he still got a guaranteed deal, which is, you know, it was kind of a big deal, you know, at the time, because no one really got that type of stuff. So I don't know, it was just really cool.
Did you ever hear his idea for the Super Bowl that year?
Didn't he want to run on the field and like and handcuff himself to the field goal post?
He was going to go out there and he was going to chain himself to the goal post. As a publicity stunt.
Yes. And he was actually asking one of his friends, you know, for help to, you know, to get that done. And the guy thought, well, you know, I'll lose my job if that happens. And, yeah, he really wanted to do that. I mean, it's just insanity that, you know,
it would have been good publicity. I mean, you know.
Oh, yes. I mean, honestly, it would have been great for his career. I mean, of course, he probably would have done some jail time. But, you know, I don't think he would have done that long. And after he's done with that, I mean,
he would have been in and out of jail in like 12 hours. You know,
Super Bowl. There's no way. On the Super Bowl,
he wouldn't have gotten that much trouble. I mean, unless he had like priors or something and it added on to it, he wouldn't have got that much trouble. He'd have been out in like 12 hours. It wouldn't have been a big deal to pay the fine and go home. That'd have been it.
Well, being Brian Pillman, there's a good possibility that he might have had priors. All right, so let's go over this card.
It'd be a good possibility that he might have had something on him.
Yes, very, very, also very true.
And actually, this wasn't his exit of WCW, as we'll get to later on. So.
Yes. All right, we have the Nasty Boys against Public Enemy, which is, you know, another one of their, they had these, like, you know, what at the time what were called garbage matches, which they would just, you know, brawl with each other. Public Enemy was this team that came in earlier in the year, and they were like the ECW guys that used tables. And the Nasty Boys were already like the hardcore team of WCW. So them having matches it was kind of like a, you know, if you like that kind of wrestling, like a kind of a dream brawl type thing. And they always had really interesting matches. Eventually, like, you know, throughout this year, you know, they even had even better matches. And it was just, I really enjoyed this feud. And the Nasty Boys beat the Public Enemy.
Like, I think maybe it was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks after the Public Enemy's debut. Johnny Grunge got drunk and stole a WCW production truck and got pulled over and arrested for DWI.
I mean,
he didn't get fired. It's amazing to me he didn't get fired.
Yes, he stole a piece of their production equipment.
With
got arrested,
Hugh Morris. Hugh Morris was with him.
And he still did not get fired. This is WCW. And Johnny B. Bad beat DDP. And
again,
and the stipulation for this is, all right, Kimberly had won $6 million, supposedly, in the lottery. But DDP stole the ticket from her. Okay, and this is wrestling logic, of course. You know, he stole the tickets. All of a sudden, it's his $6 million. Well, DDP is an asshole, you know, and his gimmick is he's just like this, you know, this asshole that could beat anybody, whatever. I'm DDP, it doesn't matter. Well, he decides to put up the $6 million in a match against Johnny B. Bad. Why would he do this? No one has any idea, but he does. And so, Kimberly won back the $6 million, but. And the greatest thing about it is there's an oversized check for $6 million already prepared. You know, like, whoever wins gets this oversized check, even though it's already DDP's money. So if DDP would have won it, you know, he would have gotten an oversized check for the amount of his own money that he already has. So, and then the best thing about this was, like, when DDP was supposedly had all this money, he's like, he's living the life of luxury, you know. He's got these nice robes, this brand new gear. He's driving a nice car, always Cuban cigars, you know. Well, after he gets the money taken away from him, even though he's a WCW wrestler, you know, well, apparently WCW wrestlers don't make any money because his ring gear gets, like, repoed, so he's wearing, like, this holy ring gear. He's smoking on, like, a little nub of a cigar that he has left. He has broken sunglasses, and he had a ring jacket, but it actually gets repoed on his way to the ring, which they apparently couldn't find a more convenient time to do this. And it was just, I mean, apparently the wrestlers make no money because unless he had that $6 million, he cannot afford ring gear. So,
and I think they showed some things of him like, I don't know, might have been in WCW magazine or something, him, like, maybe sitting beside a dumpster eating a can of beans or something like that. I can't even remember, but it was something like
that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, I mean, but this is great. I mean, honestly, we're making fun of it. We're laughing, but this is great.
It was
stuff,
funny at
you know?
The time. Yeah. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was
great.
I enjoyed it.
Yes. Then we had Sting and Luger beat the Harlem Heat when Luger beat Stevie Ray after the Road Warriors came out, and one of the Road Warriors hit one of the Harlem Heat with a steel plate, and then Luger fell on top of him for the win.
Yeah, and the winners of this match was going to face the Road Warriors later on.
Later on that night. And I remember reading about this, and I actually saw this pay-per-view much later. I finally got a tape of it, like, much later. I actually missed this one live. But I said, and I remember reading about it in WCW Magazine, and they would have, like, match-by-match thing. And I remember reading about it, and even as young as I was, you know, 13 years old, I was, like, thinking, like, what the hell is this going on in this show? You know, because Nitro wouldn't really describe what happened at the pay-per-views very well. They were never good at that. Like, at WWF, you kind of always knew what happened the night before. But WCW, they had so many matches and so many angles, you didn't really know what happened. They kind of would just mention it in passing. So reading about this was just so weird. And Conan beat One Man Gang, and it was just One Man Gang being in the title picture at all was just so weird. And Conan, who was also in the title picture, was also very weird because he had just debuted in WCW. And, like, I think they wanted him to be, like, a superstar, but he was not. He was not over at all.
I just remember he won the title from One Man Gang, like, on the main event on a Sunday, which is weird.
Yes.
Was, well, why wouldn't you just wait till this match to change the titles, you know, like, on the pay-per-view or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it was just really weird.
I think this was the last
really
time I saw One Man Gang, as a matter of fact. I think he probably quit and left after this.
Yes. Then was the what we mentioned before, the Kevin Sullivan, Brian Pillman thing. And then they had the Road Warriors and Sting and Luger, and it was a double count out. And it was kind of, what a cheap finish, you know? Like, because there was, like, interference in the first one, and then this was, like, just, like, a double count. It was just really, it was bad booking for the show.
Yeah.
Was that, you know, tag title stuff. And then Flair beat Randy Savage, and Elizabeth was with Randy Savage at the time. And what ended up happening was Elizabeth gave Ric Flair her shoe, and he hit Randy Savage. Like, another thing that we should touch on again, and we've touched on it the past couple of weeks. For some reason, the top weapon in WCW in 1996, like, you know, at first, was a woman's high-heeled shoe. I mean, like, it was like it was more effective than a shotgun in WCW at the time. I mean, no one used anything else. It was just like, this was the main event, you know, just the main event weapon was just someone's high-heeled shoe.
They did a couple weeks earlier, didn't they, with the high-heeled shoe?
It was, they injured Hulk Hogan's eye with it. And it's not the end of a high-heeled shoe either. This is not the end of it. Oh, we're going to get more shoe. But, so he wins the title, Flair wins the title, and the thing about this is, like, this is the beginning of WCW doing this. And they don't do it always, but Flair and Savage traded that title, like, what, two or three times since, you know, 95?
Savage won it at Starrcade 95. No, Flair won it at Starrcade 95.
Savage won it at World War III.
Yeah, Savage won it at World War III. Flair won it at Starrcade. Savage won it back on Nitro. And then Flair won it back here.
Yes. But still, for the world title, it's kind of a lot. And then Hogan beats the Giant, okay? And it's one of those steel cage matches where Hogan beats him by escaping over the top of the cage. And this was really where Hogan, like this and the pay-per-view after this, or the next couple pay-per-views after this, where the crowd is really turning against Hogan. They are not cheering him. They're actually booing him. He's not over as a face at all anymore. And he never really was, but I mean, he got a decent reaction for a while, but this was kind of like one of those things where, you know, after the match, everybody comes to attack Hogan, like the entire Dungeon of Doom, and Hogan kicks all of their asses by himself. I mean, like 10 guys. And then Loch Ness comes out.
Oh,
and Loch Ness was he was a European wrestler that, like, I remember in Regal's book, Regal talks about, what was his name in Europe? Do you remember?
Oh, Giant Haystack.
It was Giant Haystack. And he's this guy that's been wrestling in Europe for a long time. But by this point, he's sick. He's actually dying. And he comes into WCW way late in his career. He's old, and he's really, really heavy. And they want to do this feud with him and Hogan because, like, you know, he's just this big fucking fat guy, you know? And that's like the typical guy that goes against Hogan, because Hogan will always take the big fat guy and just beat him, you know? And this was where they're you know, they want to push Loch Ness, but you'll see shortly that this doesn't last very long at all. This Loch Ness Hogan feud that's supposed to happen. So that's pretty much it for Super Brawl.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to the next night on Nitro.
Let me see. We got Randy Savage pins Hugh Morris after two elbows.
Okay.
And it was announced before the match that he'd face Flair for the title the following week on Nitro. And
okay.
They promoted the Baywatch that they had taped like in 1995 when they were doing Bash at the Beach. Was going to premiere soon. That's about it there. See, Loch Ness pinned Scotty Riggs. Conan defeated Devon Storm. I think this was Devon Storm's first match in WCW.
Yes. Yes, it was his debut.
Reading about him in the aftermath, you know, from like ECW and Independence, so this is my first time seeing him.
Yeah, Devon Storm was like a really popular Northeast independent wrestler. He eventually became Crowbar, but at this time he didn't even really sign with WCW.
He just came in like pay per appearance or something like that, you know.
Yes, yes. And like I said, I'm still hearing that popping noise.
Are you?
I don't know if it's my phone or is it your phone. I apologize, everybody.
Let me change phones and we'll see. Okay. Could you talk for just a couple minutes?
Okay. Yeah. I will just keep going for a couple of minutes.
Okay. No problem.
All right. Yes, I no longer hear it anymore, so this is good. All right, so yeah, like you said, Loch Ness beat Scotty Riggs, and like I said, Loch Ness was like supposed to get this big push, but like I think the people in charge kind of realized that Loch Ness was, you know, he couldn't really move anymore, he didn't really have anything left, so you know they kind of cut his push short very shortly after this. And Devon Storm was very interesting in WCW because, like you said, you read about him in like Pro Wrestling Illustrated and The Wrestler, and you'd always just, you know, hear good things about him and how him and Reckless Youth and all those guys, Mike Quackenbush, were all having these great matches. And, you know, you kind of see him, and it's kind of weird because he gets squashed by Conan. You know, it's not necessarily squashed. It was kind of a semi-competitive match, but still, it's, I don't know, it's pretty interesting. And then the big part of this is Hulk Hogan wrestles, and he's wrestling Arn Anderson. It's on a Nitro, which, you know, you don't think Arn Anderson versus Hulk Hogan is going to be a big match because it's just a Nitro match, you know? And, of course, Hulk Hogan versus Arn Anderson, Hulk Hogan's, of course, going to win. But, no, that is not what happened on this show. What ended up happening was, like we had mentioned before, there was the shoe. They would always use that shoe, and they were trying to get over that Elizabeth is now a heel. So Elizabeth snuck in a shoe. Hogan got hit in the eye with it again, and Arn Anderson beats Hogan, like actually pins him. And this was at the time where nobody pinned Hulk Hogan. I mean, nobody pinned him. And it was just such a crazy thing to happen. Because, you know, Arn Anderson, number one, isn't a main event. I mean, I love Arn Anderson, of course, but he's not a main eventer. He's a mid-card guy. He's always in a group. And I mean, he has big time matches, of course, but he's just, you know, considered to, you know, WCW fans as like a mid-card guy, right? I mean, don't you think so?
Yeah. I'd say he was pretty much a mid-card guy. I mean, you know, I'm like you, I love Arn Anderson. If I had to pick like probably my 10 favorite workers of all time, he'd be in my top 10. And
yeah, he's great.
And if I had to pick like my five favorite promo guys of all time, he'd be in my top five. But it was more the association with Flair that got him, you know, kind of into the main events more than anything. His association with Flair. I mean, but he was a guy that I don't know if you didn't like Arn Anderson, there's something wrong with you.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if they would have put him in the main event and, you know, actually, you know, roll the ball, if you will, with him, I mean, he would have carried himself fine, and he would have been fine, because he was a five-star match wrestler, always good, always solid, could always back up his matches with the promos, always had great, excellent promos, and, you know, he was just awesome. But I mean, but still, even with saying that, he still wasn't, you know, the number one heel.
Yeah,
he wasn't even in the top five at the time.
He was always Ric Flair's, you know, heavy. You know, like he was the he was the enforcer. He was always the backup, you know.
Yes. Yes. Well, at the end of the show, Arn Anderson said, you know, I beat you once, I could do it again. And, of course, Hogan accepts the challenge, you know, because Randy Savage comes and, you know, helps Hogan clear the ring or whatever. And they're also saying that Randy Savage the next week on Nitro, which it's crazy because, once again, they're doing a Randy Savage versus Ric Flair title match on Nitro. Because WCW at the time, it's kind of the same thing that TNA is now, where they lived and died by their ratings. The Monday Night Wars was the biggest thing to them, and if they beat WWF in the ratings, that means they were that much more important than the WWF. That was their big thing, was that they beat the other wrestling show in the ratings. And at this point, you know, like, because now there's other cable shows that obviously, you know, mop the floor of wrestling on cable. But back then, wrestling was it. Wrestling was the number one thing on cable. I mean, was anything else beating that at the time? I don't think it was.
No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure wrestling was a big thing on cable at this time because there weren't really original shows. So, I mean, it was just, you know, that's why they were able to spend all this money. That's why they were able to both compete so hard for talent. And it was just a great time to be a fan. And this
Absolutely.
Right now, like, everybody listening should know that this is why you should listen to this show, what we're talking about, because, I mean, this is the stuff that's interesting. This is, like, the era, like, beginning of it, where everything is, like, you know, really starting to heat up. All right, so let's go to the Nitro the next week. They're going to have that rematch, you know, of, where is it at? It's going to be Hogan against...
Hogan against Anderson
Hogan.
And Flair against Savage.
Hogan against Anderson and Flair against Savage. And it was... Arn Anderson beat him again, but this time it wasn't a pinfall, right? It was a disqualification?
I think it was a disqualification.
Yes, it was a DQ this time, because Hogan's not going to lose to him twice. You know? And they're keeping on with this Loch Ness thing, of where Loch Ness is... He's pretty much just destroying guys. He beat Scotty Riggs like the week before on Nitro. The Saturday night, he took out Mark Bagwell. And then Alex Wright is the latest victim of Loch Ness on Nitro, which is, you know, they want to build him up as like this killer heel. And, you know, that's what they're doing, man. They're doing a pretty good job at it. Even though he was very, you know, immobile. And that's an understatement, you know. But, you know, he tried. You know, he was trying. And he looked sickly. I mean, you know, I mean, he's like, he was dirty. He looked really dirty. And he looked sickly. It was a sad sight. And another thing that's a notable thing that we should talk about is Fit Finley is on this Nitro.
He had shown up, gosh, maybe it was a couple weeks earlier. When Regal was in a match on Saturday night, just out of nowhere, he just beats the shit out of him. And I mean, I'd heard the name like in like one of the magazines or something before from stuff over in like Germany or someplace like that. I heard the name Fit Finley, but I'd never seen him before, and he just beat the crap out of him.
This is awesome. I mean, I'm not a big Fit Finley fan now. But, I mean, because he's an old man now. And I have nothing against his, like, the stuff he did in the past. I just, you know, I prefer, like, him being a trainer, and, you know, that's what he's doing now. So, you know, that's good for him.
Yeah.
And then they had Ric Flair beat Randy Savage, and it was just, you know, I think it was just, I don't remember.
I don't remember the details of it, I'm sure there was some sort of interference or something.
There had to have been. There had to have been. You know, because that's just what they did. All right, so, you know, Nitro is really, really heating up. And it's really starting to, you know, become like the number one show. It's like it's the hottest show for wrestling. And it's because they're putting the main event caliber, like my buddy the Wonk, who is listening to the show live right now. He's actually in our chat. And It's just, it's awesome. It's awesome that, like, you know, they gave away stuff for free. They gave away pay-per-view caliber matches for free on Nitro just to get those ratings. And let's talk about the Booty Man and why and how he became the Booty Man. Do you remember those details?
I don't remember how he became it other than he just showed up 1 week. You know what I mean? It was.
Yeah, well, I know a little bit of the backstory.
Okay, real quick, we need to talk about that Lex Luger defeated Johnny B. Badd for the TV title. I think right before this Nitro we're about to talk about. And
okay,
that was Johnny B. Badd's final match in WCW because they couldn't come to a contract, and they went on TV the next week. And I think Johnny B. Badd was supposed to face somebody on Nitro, and they said, well, he couldn't hang with the big boys. So.
Yes, yes. Because Johnny B. Badd had beaten Lex Luger, like, in a match. He just beat Lex Luger in a match, which was, you know, a crazy, crazy upset, you know, that, like, you know, Johnny B. Badd would beat Lex Luger. I believe it was just on the show. It might have been on the Saturday night before it. But then Luger beat Johnny B. Badd, and there was some sort of, like, contract dispute, like he said. And what happened was one night, yeah, like, because it was actually at, because they had announced the match between Johnny B. Badd and DDP at Uncensored. And
yeah.
It was at Uncensored, and the Booty Man filled in for Johnny B. Badd. And Tony Schiavone says on that commentary at Uncensored, he says, like, Johnny B. Badd decided he can't play with the big boys anymore. And it was just so funny.
Yeah, and then he showed up in WWF, like, at that WrestleMania that year.
Yes, yes. And it was at that WrestleMania. As the wild man, Mark Mero.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so Johnny B. Badd is now out of the company. And like we were saying about the Booty Man, Hogan comes out 1 week, and this is my memory, and, like, it could be wrong, but I'm almost positive this is what happened. And Hogan had said that, you know, when the Booty Man came out, that he was laughing about it and saying that the Booty Man as the Zodiac was just a spy for Hogan for the Dungeon of Doom. So now
I guess he was a spy in the Faces of Fear when he was wrestling him at Starrcade too, huh?
Yes, apparently. So he's just a spy for Hogan named the Booty Man. And the Booty Man is, like, he wears, like, the same gear as Brutus Beefcake did, you know, with his fucking size showing and his ass showing. Like, he actually has, like, holes, like, showing his ass. It was the oddest gear, like, in the history of wrestling.
Yeah, Gorilla Monsoon, you say in WWF, used to look like he had a couple hand grenades in his pocket and they went off. And that's where his outfit came from.
That's so funny. Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, so on Nitro, Sting beats Big Bubba. And Big Bubba is, like, has so quickly downgraded to a jobber. I mean, so very, very quickly. I mean, like, you got to think before Nitro, and, like, at the beginning of stages of Nitro, it was actually before Nitro, if you think about it, he was kind of considered, like, you know, one of the top baby faces. And then once he turned heel as Big Bubba, he was still wrestling on pay-per-views and stuff. Well, now he's just, like, a first match on the show wrestler, and he would always lose. It was kind of sad, because I was always a Big Boss Man, you know, Big Bubba fan. So it's kind of sad to see. I didn't like that. Then Luger beats the Renegade. Did we skip the Nitro? We did. No, we did not.
Did we skip March 18th?
March 18th?
We're still
in February.
Holy shit.
Where are you? I have no idea what you're even thinking. Yeah, we're still way back in February.
Oh. I don't know what's going on. Okay,
yeah,
continue.
I have no idea.
What's the date of the show that you're on right now?
We are on the end of February, the last show of February.
Okay.
Knoxville, Tennessee. All right, you with me?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, it's Hogan, Randy Savage, and then this is the booty man with them, beat Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, and Kevin Sullivan. And notice the team of two horsemen and a Dungeon of Doom guy. And this is kind of the whole, you know, they are all heels, the horsemen and Dungeon of Doom, but they're all beginning to start the alliance to end Hulkamania. Because they want to end Hulkamania. And if you think about it, they succeeded. But, so we have that. And we're going to go ahead and
Hulk
go
Hogan
into
pinned Randy, pinned Arn Anderson in this match. You know, had to get that win back.
He had to get that win back. That's exactly it. And that's a very important important part of it. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's stupid if you think about it. But, like, you know, his mentality, I guess, has worked for him. I mean, it really has. Well, on Nitro, at the beginning of, I believe it was the beginning of March, wasn't
it? No, I'd say something real quick. All this stuff about having to get your win back, I think it's so stupid.
Of course.
Like, Hogan has to get his win back against the Warrior, like, 8 years later. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to think less of if you don't get that win back.
Well, obviously no one's going to think that, but, I mean, that was just
he tried to bring Yokozuna into WCW so he'd get that win back, but Yokozuna never came to WCW.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, because, you know, Hogan never beat Yokozuna. Well, he beat him in that, you know, that first little thing at WrestleMania that year, and then Yokozuna won the title from him at, like, King of the Ring in 93, and then he tried to bring Yokozuna back in to, you know, get that win back from him.
Oh, wow. I did not even at all remember that.
Well, that's why I'm here.
I guess so. And then I believe the next Nitro, was there a preempted Nitro?
I don't know. I don't know if there was or not. We had the Nitro with...
Yes, it was because I distinctly remember this Nitro. It was in Winston-Salem, and the Giant beat Jim Duggan in just a squash match. And then the Road Warriors call out any team in the locker room to come out and face them. And it was the Steiner Brothers.
No, it was supposed to be the Nasty Boys, remember?
Was it supposed to be the Nasty Boys?
It was supposed to be the Nasty Boys against the Road Warriors. And all of a sudden you hear these engines revving up, and all of a sudden Steiners come out on their Harleys. And because it was real, like, maybe a few weeks later that the Public Enemy had done something to the Nasty Boys and jumped them, and that's why they weren't in that match.
But it's funny, like, how you think about that logic of the Public Enemy did that. So were the Public Enemy working with...
No, they were just working. They were just doing it on their own just to keep that feud going.
No, but I mean, like, you got to think, like, Rick and Scott Steiner just happen to show up with their Harleys wearing, you know, wearing their stuff.
And Stevie Michael says, I remember watching the Steiners when I was a youngster. Yeah, right.
yeah, exactly. Old-ass McMichael.
But this is awesome because I love the Steiners. I was glad to see them back.
It had been a long, long while since they'd been there.
1992.
Yeah, 92. So it had been a real long time, and they looked great when they came back. They were both in great shape. They just looked great. I mean, it, like, really added to the tag team division, which was already stacked. I mean, we already had, you know, the Harlem Heat, the Public Enemy, the Nasty Boys, the Road Warriors were there, and they were still good. And, you know, the Steiners coming back. Really, you know, just had Sting and Luger were a great team.
Yeah, the tag team thing just blew up at this time.
It was awesome. Then they had a lumberjack strap match, okay? It's Hogan, Savage, and the Booty Man against Flair, Anderson, and Kevin Sullivan. Of course, Hogan, Savage, and Booty Man win the match. This Nitro, it sticks out in my mind of, like, one of those ones that, like, I just remembered, like, how big it felt. It felt more than a wrestling show. It felt like, you know, it was an important show. And, like, I just really, really liked it. And I really liked WCW at this time. It was just so awesome.
Yeah, I mean it was good TV. I mean, you know, WCW had been so bad for so long, you know, in those months that we talked about, like in 1995, this was like, wow, it's just like a great change of pace to see actually see something good for once.
Well, some point in the last like couple of weeks on the show, they've decided to not run with that Loch Ness thing, like I had said. They decided not to run with it anymore. And Loch Ness was scheduled to have a match with Lex Luger. And the special part about that match was nothing. There's nothing special about that match. The only thing that's, I guess, big was the Giant attacked Loch Ness and said that there's only one true Giant in WCW. So for Loch Ness to get written out of WCW, instead of having a blow-off match with Hogan, who he was about to have a pull, or who he had a pull apart with, it's going to be against the Giant, who the Giant, like, ever since that cage match, had kind of just been floating around, don't you think?
Yeah, I think they just couldn't come up with anything to do with him.
I mean, he's getting better and better by the week, the Giant is. He's having great matches. I mean, like, not great matches, but he's having good matches. The Giant was awesome. He was an awesome wrestler to have.
Yeah, this was, like, I don't know, I think maybe this was, well, coming up is, this is, like, the best period for him that he was ever booked in. I mean, the best he was ever booked at this period.
Oh, yeah. Because WWF at the time had no one like him.
Yeah.
They had no one like him. And people talk about Andre the Giant, but, you know, like Ric Flair has said in the past, Andre wasn't an athlete like Paul White, the Giant, is. I mean, honestly, I mean, he was a true athlete, throwing drop kicks and stuff. It was just awesome. And then Rick and Scott Steiner beat the Public Enemy with, you know, maybe 5 to 7 minutes or something. And it was one of those things that, you know, they were, like, during the match, like, it was one of those crazy Bischoff things where he would try making WCW seem cooler than it was because Dennis Rodman got suspended in by the NBA for 6 games, and don't be surprised to see him with Hogan. And
well, he was there. He was there the year before Bash at the Beach with Hogan. So
the year before, yeah, he was just there with Hogan though.
Well, I mean, you know, he like accompanied to the ring, but I mean, I could see why they'd say this, you know, because you know, plenty of people already knew Hogan had been associated with Rodman, so maybe they may do something.
It's still weird though.
Yeah.
It was just a weird thing for him to say. And Arn Anderson, like we had said, had just beaten Hogan. Okay, he beat Hogan a couple weeks ago. He cheated, but he still beat the most famous wrestler of all time at this point, Hulk Hogan. And Arn Anderson, weeks later, loses to the Booty Man, whose finisher is, get this, everybody,
the high knee.
Get it? High knee? Because he's the Booty Man? Yes.
I don't want to talk about this match. It's disgusting to me.
Well, Booty Man, who's in this main event feud, okay, with Ric Flair and all those guys, for no reason at all, is now wrestling DDP because he's taken the place of Johnny B. Badd, and now the Booty Man is, I mean, he's now fighting for Kimberly's honor against Diamond Dallas Page. Why? Why is he doing this? But you know, she comes out to cheer him. And Uncensored, you find out that she has changed her name to the Booty Babe. So we have the Booty Man and the Booty Babe. The Road Warriors beat the Nasty Boys in a match that was supposed to happen the week before. And then in a Texas Tornado match, Hogan and Savage beat Ric Flair and Kevin Sullivan.
Well, they fall into a double count out.
Oh, was it? In a Texas Tornado? Oh, yeah, it was. in a Texas Tornado match, they had a double countout. All right, now it's time for us to get to one of the oddest pay-per-views in the history of all time.
Real quick, March 20th, 1996, Shinjiro Otani pins Chris Benoit for the Cruiserweight title in the tournament finals.
But no one even knows that this is even happening.
Until a month later when he loses it.
Yes. They don't talk about it on Nitro. They announce it, like, passing by on Saturday night. So, like, no one, like, on their big show, they won't even talk about their own title. That's supposed to be this big deal. And it just makes no sense. It makes no sense. Ugh. All right, so let's go ahead and go to
Uncensored 1996.
Okay. I remember every single part of the show by memory. It's Conan versus Eddie Guerrero for the U.S. title. They have a long, great match. And I remember the finish is Eddie Guerrero's going for a leapfrog, and Conan, like, brings him down, and, like, it's like a low blow, like, with, like, almost like a headbutt to the dick.
Yeah, like you remember the match with Windham and Rose against Steamboat and Douglas for the tag titles, where Steamboat went for the leapfrog, like, on Barry Windham or something, and...
Yes, it's exactly...
Yeah, that's what
exactly
it was.
What it is.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. Wow, that's awesome. And Fit Finley beat Lawrence Stephen Regal, and another
this match was
long
awesome.
Match. It was great. It was
this is
great.
The best, up until this time, this was the best match I'd ever seen Steve Regal have, I think.
Yes, it was just awesome. It was awesome. It was brutal. It was brutal.
Did you notice how Regal got his nose busted open and they shut it wide for the rest of the match?
Yes, because in WCW you now have blood. And Regal now, like, had this team because he didn't have any assistants before. It was just Regal. But yeah. Now, you know, Bobby Eaton, who, you know, Earl of Eaton, and... Dave Taylor, who was announced as, like, a British heavyweight champion at World War III, hadn't really been seen since. Dave Taylor hadn't. So they come out wearing suits, and they attack Fit Finley, which it's sad that there was a DQ finish, but it was also okay because, you know, it made sense for the storyline, and it was okay. I mean, it wasn't a title match. It wasn't a main event match. So it was just awesome.
This may have been one of the stiffest matches I'd ever seen up at this point, you know, since watching wrestling.
I mean, it was honestly great stuff. It really was great stuff. All right, we actually have a call on the line. All right. 219, that's my area code, so it's got to be one of my buddies. What's going on?
Yo, it's Greg. What's going on, man?
Hey, Greg, how are you doing?
Not bad. I see you're something one of my favorite pay-per-views ever, Uncensored 96.
All right. we're gonna go through, like, the next match or the match that we discussed so far, like Conan and Eddie Guerrero and Finley and Regal.
Okay. Yeah, there was, like, a break in from the computer and the phone, so you guys were probably ahead. I remember, like, that Conan and Eddie Guerrero match, like, a really good match. It was for the U.S. title. It went, like, 20 minutes, and it was, like, really. I haven't really seen Conan before. Like, I know he beat One Man Gang and just a little bit, but, like, before that, like, I mean, I had never seen him in, like, the Mexican League or anything, so I thought it was a really good match.
Yeah, because they didn't really show the greatness of Conan with One Man Gang.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he was, like, really over. And I did hear something, like, he was, like, I guess Hogan promised him he would be, like, his number two, like, running buddy. Like, they would be kind of like I don't know, like a stable, but like just like a, I guess a partnership, like Sting and Luger back in the day. But like I guess Hogan like kind of lied to him and kept him down, and didn't want him to get like too over. That's what I heard. I don't know if.
Oh, I never heard that before. It's probably a Conan story. I can see that he tells a lot.
It probably is, yeah. But I have heard that.
So what did you think of the Finley and Regal match?
Oh, that was really good. I remember that. Yeah, like they, I know that like, they used to shoot all the time. I didn't know, like, if it was real or not. I mean, there's, like, blood everywhere. It'd be pretty hardcore for 1996 WCW, I'll definitely say that.
That was awesome. Then we had Medusa lost to Colonel Robert Parker, and it was because
she interrupted his wedding, right, or something?
Yeah, she interrupted.
He married to Sherry, and she interrupted the wedding or something.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. What do you remember about this, Contreras?
I don't remember much about this match. I don't think I've ever even seen
it. Oh, man. Okay, well, what happens is, Greg, do you remember this match?
No.
Well, Dick Slater was in Colonel Robert Parker's corner, like as his manager. And it wasn't as funny as like when Stone Cold or when Stunning Steve Austin was in his corner and dressed just like him. But I mean it was still pretty great. And she got him with they call it the backdraft when she was a Wonder Blaze, but she got him with that move and he pulled her legs out. Dick Slater pulled her legs out and Colonel Robert Parker rolled on top of her. Which, like we had said time and time again, Contreras, Colonel Robert Parker was such a great addition to WCW. And even as a wrestler, like, you know, he was just so great. He was so great. And now let's talk about, the Booty Man against BB in a career-ending match, okay?
The debut of the Booty Babe.
Yes, the Booty Babe, like we said.
I remember that very distinctly.
Oh, God.
I see this match went 16 minutes, which makes me glad I never saw it. So.
Okay. It actually wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad of a match.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was like Kimberly, you know, comes out and DDP eventually gives her. Yeah, DDP kissed her. Okay, at the end of the match, and so she slaps him. She slaps him, and I will never, ever, ever forget. Oh, by the way. Kimberly was and now it's 16 million, by the way, but Kimberly, DDP would win her if he won the match. So in WCW, not only did they put up a $16 million lottery ticket up on the line of the match, but also slavery of a woman was up for grabs in this match. And I'll never forget the finish because all the announcers said at once, high knee, 1, 2, 3, in unison, every single one of them. It was like they were singing it or something. And I'll never forget that. Great show. Hilarious match.
Not to get off track, but wasn't she like up for grabs in a Dave Sullivan DDP arm wrestling match like a year before that?
That was just a date. You know, whatever.
I'm just amazed, like, in such a short amount of time, this 6 million lottery winnings, I guess inflation hit or something, I don't know, and it went to 16 million.
Yeah,
whatever.
I have no idea. Like, apparently Kimberly is great at investing. I mean, she turned that money, she added 10 million to that money in a freaking 1 month's time. I mean, like, I need to find her and, you know, do something with my money. All right, and then... the Giant went up against Loch Ness.
Didn't DDP leave? Wasn't this like a retirement match?
A retirement match, yes.
Okay.
And
he comes back 2 months later, but that's kind of
yes.
Foreshadowing.
We will get to that spoiler alert, Greg. Yeah. Well, also in that match, like we had said, like Johnny B. Badd didn't want to play with the big boys anymore. And also, not only did they bury him on his way out, they also said that he turned heel because he blamed Kimberly for him losing the TV title, and that's why he left. So he got mad
really?
At Kimberly. Yes. And then... all right, so the Giant beat Loch Ness in about 2 minutes, and Loch Ness was supposed to get the villains push against Hogan, but Hogan obviously didn't want to work with him because he's, you know, on death's door. The man's freaking dying, and
he died 2 years later after this.
Wow. Yes, but the best part about this was Giant was trying to send a message to Hogan, supposedly,
He does a leg drop, right?
Yeah, he gave him a big boot and a leg drop to beat him.
I remember that.
Oh. And we need to discuss the Chicago street fight, okay? It actually all started...
You'll probably explain this, but what's the deal with, like, Sting and Booker T? I think I missed, like, a couple nitros before that.
Okay. I'm gonna explain it to you, young Greg.
Thank you.
It was actually Luger that challenged them, or that accepted the challenge for a Chicago street fight against the World Warriors. He accepted the challenge, okay? And he didn't even know what it was because he said he was from a different side of Chicago. So he didn't know what a Chicago street fight was. He was from, you know, the suburbs of Chicago, supposedly. And then he finds out that Jimmy Hart, his manager, signed him up to be in the big uncensored cage match of the Alliance to End Hulkamania versus, yeah, he was a member of Alliance to End Hulkamania. So
yeah.
He wasn't allowed to wrestle in that match, you know. So Booker T comes out, because Sting doesn't have a partner now. So Booker T comes out and is like, look, Sting, I'll be your partner as long as you give us a title shot. Sting says, okay. So all of a sudden, the Sting and Booker T tag team is formed. And they were awesome, and this match was awesome. And the greatest thing about it was they're fighting in the back, and Luger's back there. And Luger's, like, primping himself at the mirror, okay? He's just sitting there primping himself. Like, he's just standing there. He doesn't give a shit that they're fighting right by him. He just fixing his hair in the mirror. One of them bumps into him, and it's one of the Road Warriors. And so Luger comes out and hits one of them over the back as they're leaning against the ropes. And and then all of a sudden, you know, he pins him that way. So, you know, that's pretty much it. That is
a long match. After that, yeah. Oh, I just added out, like, I love the whole, like, Luger tweener. Like, in that time, like, one day he'd be, like, talking to, like, the Horseman and, like, Dungeon Dew, and then he'd be back with Sting and Savage. I just love that. I don't know.
Well, he would never be with Savage. He hated Savage.
Sting would be the bridge between them, too. And, like, it would always be just, like, tension. It was awesome.
Yes, it was fantastic. It was fantastic stuff. And then...
Can we get to the main event, please?
I will get there. Don't worry about that. All right.
I thought on
all it. These matches, there's no real short crap matches in the show. They were all like, because there was only, it's only like a six-match card. But every single match, you know, was at least entertaining or great. And
I love the old uncensored pay-per-views just because they were all like just weird matches, like Texas Tornado matches or street fights.
Oh, boy.
And even when the shows were bad, they were good.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's exactly like we got in the year before, 95. This one is unbelievable, okay? All right, this makes no sense at all, okay, this entire thing, because, well, first off, Loch Ness is supposed to be in this cage match, okay? And he ends up getting taken out, and that's why Luger is subbed in, because Loch Ness got taken out. So... And this was the last night that Jimmy Hart was going to be Lex Luger's manager. We forgot to mention that. Like, it's his last night as his manager. And so Luger is like, you know, pretty much, this is pretty much it as a heel for him. Like, it's like the kind of tweener that you were talking about. And so it's just so weird how, you know, he had this contract with Jimmy Hart that lasted for, you know, he must have signed a six-month contract with a manager or something because the contract just ran out. And so we have this match, okay? And what they had
actually,
said was...
Actually, yeah, can I say something? I got head out. I just want to say, I know one of the guys that, like, replaced him was the Ultimate Solution. Wasn't it at first, like, the Final Solution, and they had to change it because, like, some Jewish groups got,
Yes.
Like, man,
yeah, that's what Hitler called, when he'd take them in, when they take him to the showers in the concentration camp or something like that.
I didn't appreciate that. All right. So we had.
Well, to be honest, probably nobody thought of it. I mean,
yeah.
There's four of these numbers. I don't know.
All right. Well, to build up this match, okay, I think I told the story, but I just want to confirm in case people didn't hear it last week. It was supposed to be Hulk Hogan versus the Dungeon of Doom, okay? That's what it said, like in this cage. But then Kevin Sullivan said, I didn't sign it, the Dungeon of Doom. I signed it, the Alliance to End Hulkamania. And so all of a sudden all these guys are all against Hogan. Well, Hogan, ha ha ha, I didn't sign it as Hulk Hogan. I signed it as the Mega Powers. Okay, Hogan, now you're fighting, instead of fighting 16 people against one, now it's 16 people against two. So, you know, good work, Hogan, you idiot. But, so this match is, you know, they start, like, to describe it, I believe there are three tiers, okay? And they're, like, they're different boxes above each other, and it's all steel cage, mesh. And in the very first tier is Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. And that's who's in the first tier, okay? World champion Ric Flair, mind you, in his first tier. And so they're having this match, and, you know, Bobby Heenan's telling us in commentary that this is bigger than the World Series, and this is bigger than the Super Bowl. This freaking cage match, you know, it's like the biggest thing in the history of anything in wrestling. And so in order to, you know, move forward, you have to escape to the next cage. So apparently if Arn Anderson and Ric Flair would have escaped to the next cage, that would have been it. That would have been it, and, you know, Hulkamania would have ended, I guess.
And when you escape to the next cage, then the two guys that were you escaped from, they're like eliminated from the match.
Kind of. But they're allowed to come back eventually, I guess. They're just locked in the cage. Okay,
remember,
so they get locked in.
One quick point about this match. Remember, Brian Pillman was supposed to be in this match.
Brian Pillman was supposed to be in this match.
Hulk Hogan saw how hot he was getting and wanted to beat him. So, I guess Pillman thought better of it. You remember, like, a few weeks earlier on Nitro when he was in the stands with the 1-900 banner for his hotline? And Bischoff, like, darted out of the broadcast booth to get him thrown out.
I honestly do not remember that at all, to be honest.
Yeah, he was in the audience at one of the Nitros and had a big banner with his 1-900 number. Bischoff just darted out of the broadcast booth to get him thrown out.
Oh, gosh, that's freaking crazy.
But he did not show up for this match. I think this was... He had got his work release or something like that, or his real release, although they thought...
Actually, his real release, okay. And then,
you gotta be stupid to give somebody a real release just to... Oh, gosh, that was so dumb.
Well, they escape down, okay, and they go through Flair and Arn Anderson, and wasn't Mang and the Barbarian one of the cases?
Yeah, they were in the second.
Randy Savage is, like, fighting them by himself. And then Hogan makes his way over to Kevin Sullivan and Lex Luger, the random pairing of those two, in a cage. And then Randy Savage finally escapes away from Ming and the Barbarian. Well, they're, like, fighting outside, and it's so great. It's so great, like, because Hogan's punching Kevin Sullivan, and they're up on this, like, high-rise, these stairs. And he'd punch him, and Kevin Sullivan would do these, like, whoa, you know, like, I'm going to fall, you know. And they're so bad. They're so bad. Like, just, like, they're so goofy and fake-looking, you know. And so finally they make their way out to the ring. And, you know, Hogan and Savage are starting to get, you know, they're starting to have their way with those guys. And all of a sudden it's Zeus from the 1989 classic No Holds Barred. He's not Zeus anymore. His name is The Gangsta. Who named him this? I have no idea. But his name is The Gangsta. And Ultimate Solution, who is the war? No. It's not the Warlord. It's Bane from Batman, right?
Yeah, and he was Jeep Swinson, like in World Class, and
yes,
he died a few years ago, I think.
Yes, he did.
Steroids, I think, probably.
Yeah, it was Jeep Swinson. Yes, and they come out. And Jeep Swinson is fat as hell. I have no idea why they brought him in as, like, this badass. Because, I mean, he looks like shit. And I guess because they're both actors at the time. And so they hired these two actors. And so they, of course, they attack him, bring him back into the cage, and then they all come back into the cage and just you know, are beating their ass. You know, they're all just like beating the hell out of.
At this point, I'm still trying to figure out how you win this match.
It makes no sense how you win this match. But no fear, as they're getting their ass kicked, okay? And there's like this weird thing where the boogeyman comes out and hands these like, they almost look like pie pans. They're
frying
supposed
pans.
To be pans.
Frying
yeah,
pans.
No. I know what you mean. They're supposed to be frying pans, but it looks like a pie pan, like those generic aluminum pie pans with a handle. Because they bust. Or they would crack so easily on the head of everybody that they were actually appeared to be pie pans. And so they would hit everybody. And then Lex Luger is wearing this, like, oven mitt that's silver. And it's supposed to be, like, a loaded metal glove. And he's supposed to go hit, like, Macho Man or something. But he stops, and he nails, I think, Ric Flair or Arn Anderson. And
he goes to hit Flair's holding Hogan. And he goes to hit Hogan, and then he stops short. He thinks about it a second, and then he nails Ric Flair.
Yes. And then they escape to leave, and then like out of nowhere, as they're leaving, Randy Savage jumps back in the ring, pins the world champion Ric Flair. He couldn't fucking pin the Barbarian, you know? He couldn't pin, you know, the Gangsta? Nope, world champion Ric Flair.
He forgot to pin the guy.
Yeah, forgot to pin him. Then they win. Hulkamania lives forever. And this is the last time you will see Hulk Hogan as a babyface, I believe, right?
I think this is like pretty much his last match for a while.
Yeah, it's his last match as a babyface because he's leaving for a little while.
Yeah.
He takes off. All right, so that's just definitely great stuff. This is definitely great. Oh, and Greg hung up during all of that. So thanks for calling in, Greg. Oh, what a great match that was. You know, just so awesome.
I was watching that thing last night on YouTube. And
I watched it the other day.
And I was just, and it's in like four parts. And I was just waiting for this match to end. Jesus Christ. It was a boring match. For like the first like 20 minutes or something like that. When they got out of the cage, it got a little bit more interesting, but just them fighting like in those tiers of the cages and stuff like that, it was just boring to me.
Well, you know, Fit Finley had a pretty good night the night before, you know. He got attacked, blah, blah, blah. What's he do now? The next night, very first match? Jobs to my
job.
Man. 5 minutes.
He got over too much with having a great match that he got to beat him.
Yep, they beat his ass in 5 minutes. Conan beat Mr. JL, Jerry Lynn, in about 6 minutes. The Booty Man destroys Disco Inferno. Disco Inferno is a joke at this time, but still, he's such a great, he's so great in WCW. Disco Inferno was just he was an awesome lower card heel to have. He was just awesome.
Everybody wanted to see get beat up, so he worked.
Yes. And while WCW had this great tag team lineup, you know, the tag champions defend their titles against Mark Bagwell and Scotty Riggs. Of all the tag teams they have, that's who they beat.
Actually, the Mountain American Males, they were a decent team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like them.
I've always hated everything to do with Marcus Bagwell.
You know, like at this time, and then, you know, like back when he was with somebody like Scorpio, I really enjoyed his work. I thought he was a decent worker. I think it was the gimmick that probably it was bad, you know. American Males, seriously. And that song. That song will make anybody hate somebody.
Yes. Yes. All right. Here's the story. Right now, that's going on with Luger. Okay. All right. So Lex Luger is kind of a still betweener. You know, Sting is his partner, but he doesn't really know if he should trust Lex Luger still. because they, like, there's still like heelish things that Luger does. Well, Luger is supposed to wrestle the Giant opening the Nitro, and what happened is Luger doesn't show up, so Sting comes out to, you know, defend the honor of his partner, and you know, so eventually Luger comes out and helps Sting after you know, the Giant is out on the floor, and it's just such a weird thing to, like, with all this.
Is this the one where Luger got chokeslammed through the table? I can't remember. Wasn't there a week he got chokeslammed through a table?
I'm not sure. It might have been this week. I'm not sure.
It might be in upcoming weeks, because they did a bunch of stuff with Luger and the Giant at this time and Sting, so maybe building up to this.
I'm not sure. Because was this the week that Luger or the Giant was about to turn face for a while? Like, I think this was the week.
I'm not sure. Now, he faced Flair in the main event, right?
It was the week before, I believe, that happened.
I'm trying to remember what happened with the Giant of Dungeon Doom, where it looked like he was going to turn babyface. I remember they did the deal,
like,
where he was going to team with Sting.
Yes, against the Harlem Heat.
Yeah, because that was on Saturday night, as a matter of fact. You remember Harlem Heat won their title shot, and I don't know what happened. Something happened with Luger. Luger wasn't going to be there. And so the Giant came out and said, I'll be your partner. And Sting just kind of leery of it, but he said, okay, I'll take Giant as my partner. And then they get to that Monday Nitro, and the Giant just, I guess it was just a plot to get Sting in the ring with the Giant. I don't know. And the Giant just kind of turned on him and went from there. I don't know. It was very confusing.
I remember they advertised on Nitro on Worldwide or something, that there was going to be a match on Nitro with the Giant teaming up with Sting. And then I remember they all of a sudden changed their plans, and, you know, just a weird thing.
Yeah.
And, no, actually, Hogan was on the show.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, Hogan was on the show. Yeah, because Hogan and the Booty Man wrestled Kevin Sullivan and Arn Anderson. They beat him. And, yeah, I don't know.
And this was that time, you know, we got the stuff coming up in a few months with Hogan and NWO. They got to do something with Hogan, because he's just as stale as hell at that point.
He is. And then, Here's what happens. Ric Flair is doing this thing where he's throwing coffee in people's faces.
Oh, yeah,
hot,
that's
coffee.
Right.
Hot coffee, and he throws it in Luger's, and that's how he beats,
beat Luger, like.
That is how he beats Luger on the show. So then it's preempted for a week, okay? And then then they come back. Hogan beats Arn Anderson and Kevin Sullivan in a handicap match. He beats them by himself. And then the Nasty Boys wrestle Public Enemy in a street fight. Randy Savage beats Bobby Eaton. And then this is a fucking pay-per-view caliber match on Nitro. It's every title is on the line, okay? The WCW tag titles were on the line, okay? Lex Luger's TV title was on the line, and Ric Flair's WCW world title was on the line, okay? And so all these titles are on the line. And it ends up being a disqualification because Luger wants to, or Ric Flair wants to throw the hot coffee at either Luger or Sting. I don't remember which one. And he misses and nails the Giant. He nails the Giant with...
That's right.
...with the hot coffee. And... So Ric Flair is the champion, and it's you know, announce the next week that the Giant is going to be wrestling Ric Flair for the world title. And, you know, like, it's like one of those, we don't know if he's a babyface. Is he a babyface? We don't know. What is going on? And then, you know, so we start the show.
This is all taped on the same night.
Yes, it's all on the same night. And then they announced that Sting is going to face the Giant at Slamboree. And, well, the Giant is pissed off at Ric Flair because he threw hot coffee in his face. So Flair's begging forgiveness, like, please, you know, please don't do anything. And then the Giant challenges him for the title, and they said that, you know, the title match would happen, and, you know, so they announced it. That's it. That's the match. And so the next week, on the same night that they recorded it, it's Sting and Luger. They beat Harlem Heat, and it was this weird thing where Jimmy Hart was no longer Luger's manager, but he would still like show up on his matches sometimes.
Yeah,
and like it was kind of like teasing that Luger was kind of still with Jimmy Hart, and Luger like swore like, "Hey, I'm not with him anymore. You know, I'm not." But Sting didn't necessarily believe him, and because they wanted to tease the thing between Sting and the Giant, saying that, like, you know, the Giant's manager, Jimmy Hart, is still in line with Luger, who's Sting's partner. This is like a soap opera. But this is all that happens. Then Rick and Scott Steiner defeat the new team of Fire and Ice. Scott Norton and Ice Dream form the tag team. And you would think they'd be the best tag team in the world because they were just giant guys, and they were just big. I mean, they were each 300 pounds. Easy, right?
Yeah.
Hi, dudes. Well, they lose. They lose.
I like it. I like this thing. I like Fire and Ice. I thought they were decent.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were awesome, too. And this is one of the... This match is like one of the matches that really... This next match I'm talking about is one of those matches that really made me really love Nitro. They had a parking lot brawl between Lord Steven Regal and Belfast Bruiser Fit Finlay. And you never saw anything like this.
Yeah.
Ever. There's nothing like this. And it actually ended with Regal giving Fit Finlay a pile driver on the hood of a car. And it was awesome. I mean, wasn't it great?
Yeah, this was a great match. I'd never seen anything like this before. I just couldn't. Yeah, I mean, because I had never seen ECW up to this point. And, you know, ECW is doing this kind of shit all the time, but I had never seen it. I just, like, read about matches, you know, like parking lot brawls and stuff like that. But we've seen brawls in parking lots. We've never actually seen matches in parking lots at this point, so.
Yes, yes.
And I think Fit Finlay was gone for a while after this, I think.
Yes, he was. He was. And Wonk from the chat, he also noted that the reason Hogan was gone because he was filming Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain. So that's why he was gone, man. You know?
Another classic.
Yes. It's great, great stuff, you know. Great, great stuff. And... all right. And then the Giant versus Ric Flair for the world title. Ric Flair puts the Giant in the figure four. Okay? Awesome. Giant man in the figure four. Flair thinks he's got it. He's doing that awesome Flair head shake, like I got this. The Giant grabs his throat from inside of the figure four, breaks the figure four, choke slams him. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Awesome. So great.
Flair's belt still had Randy Savage's name on the nameplate.
Yeah, you know why, right? Because Flair kept it there as a message to Randy Savage.
Or somebody forgot to get a new nameplate.
That's exactly what happened. But, you know, Shivani knows how to cover things up.
Yeah, and Flair confronted Deborah McMichael, who was ringside as for her first appearance, you know, to kind of build up what would happen, like, in a couple of months with Mongo and Kevin Green. And
yeah, so, but what's great is, like, people watch Monday Nitro every week. So if they watched it 4 months earlier, they would have seen Deborah McMichael actually come out with a group of ladies.
That's right. It was her and Linda Hogan.
Yes. Yeah, with Linda Hogan and Deborah, and they were, you know, all the ladies were coming out with Hogan and Savage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I just remember, I was shocked that they put the belt on the Giant.
Yes, it was. It seemed like one of those, like, almost Goldberg things of where they changed plans very quickly. Because that match that he was supposed to have with Sting was not a title match.
Yeah.
It was really weird. Really weird stuff. All right, so we have Nitro May 6th. And what we were building up to, everybody, is Slammarine 96.
Real quick, I don't want to interrupt you. I'm looking at this worldwide taping for May 2nd, 1996. And,
okay.
Okay, in the first set of results, it says WCW Cruiserweight Champion Dean Malenko defeated an unknown. And this is all on the same show, mind you. And then later on in the show, Dean Malenko pins Cruiserweight Champion Shinjiro Otani to win the title. So he was shown as champion earlier in the tapings, and then he won the title later on in the tapings.
And this tells you, okay, one of the most entertaining belts that we would see in the next couple of years, the Cruiserweight title, because you would see such great matches for this title. You know, high-flying, exciting, 20-plus minute matches. Everybody,
oh, this is the hottest
or
division in the business. It would eventually become the hottest division in the business, I think, at that time.
It really was. And everybody remember that Dean Malenko won that title on WCW Worldwide.
You can't have it on Nitro where everybody is saying it, you know.
They couldn't put that match on Nitro for 5 minutes. They couldn't put 5 minutes on Nitro.
Well, if it would have been on Nitro, they would have just split screen to somebody showing up in a limo or something, you know.
Yes. I mean, come on, you know? Come on. And he had already won the title, okay? He had already won the title, and they announced on Nitro that Shinjiro Otani, which they had filmed this way, way before, that he would be defending the title at Slamboree, which I don't even know if he was even on there, was he?
On what?
Slamboree.
Who, Dean Malenko?
No, Shinjiro Otani.
No, he wasn't at Slamboree.
Yes. Yeah, but they announced that he would be there, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, and he would defend the title at Slamboree. And the thing is, the announcer should have known better that he wouldn't be there because they'd already changed the title. It had already happened. It was recorded before this Nitro. Weeks before. Oh. All right, well, Hugh Morris beat Randy Savage by DQ because Randy Savage used his coat, his ring jacket, to hang Hugh Morris over the top rope.
This was
and
when he was flipping out over the Elizabeth thing.
Yes, he's flipping out.
Weren't they coming out and, like, Elizabeth is handing out money?
Yes, his money, supposedly. Because even though they had been divorced for a long time, they were saying that they were not divorced, and Elizabeth was taking all Macho Man's money and giving it to just random people. you know? Dean Malenko beat Jushin Liger. And just it was, like, weird because Jushin Liger used to be all over WCW stuff, but he randomly showed up on this, and
they got 9 minutes. That's kind of shocking.
Yeah,
they got about
nine minutes
for this match.
Yes, especially while Sting wrestles the next match against Regal, and they only get 6 minutes. Which, you know, it was just awesome. It was just awesome. And they announced during this match, actually, that Luger was supposed to wrestle the Giant, and they announced that he's still not showed up. Because they're doing the storyline where
he's not reliable.
You know, he's not reliable, and you don't know anything. And so Giant comes out for the match. You know, he comes out for the match against Luger. And you know who substitutes for Luger? The main event of Nitro. Fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan comes out. The main event of Nitro. And Duggan is attempting to tape his fist. Because everybody knows that, like, the taped fist is Jim Duggan's finishing move. He does not Saturday night all the time against jobbers. But, like, we have to say it one more time. He doesn't even really tape his fist. He wraps it around maybe two or three times. And that is not enough tape to make any sort of difference in a punch.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, if he would tape it up, I don't know, 50 to 100 times. Maybe that would be hard enough to make a difference. 200 times?
It's like rubbing scotch tape around your knuckles.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. It's horrible, horrible stuff. And, Oh, God. Oh, sorry. It was Santa with muscles. I apologize, everybody. It was Santa with muscles. It was not Three Ninjas, because Three Ninjas was in 1998.
What an error you made there. You know, you got one shitty Hogan movie confused with another shitty Hogan movie.
Yes, I apologize, everybody. That's awesome. That is awesome. Then, so we have a Nitro, you know, still building up this thing, this Slamboree show. And the thing for Slamboree is
Battle Bowl.
And Battle Bowl is to win this ring, okay? And it's called, isn't it called Lord of the Ring?
You're the Lord of the Ring or something.
The Lord of the Ring. So no Frodo, Smeagol was not there, but it was Lord of the Ring in WCW. And one thing that we should mention before, we get there, we'll talk about, it's like Saturday night, they show DDP homeless, and he can't afford anything. If a guy doesn't work for the company, I have no idea why he has a film crew filming him homeless. But whatever, you know. This whole DDP stuff, it never makes any sense. Well, all of a sudden, a limo pulls up, and a woman's hand hands DDP something. So then all of a sudden, DDP is back. DDP is back in WCW, okay? He's there. He's rich again somehow. He has money. No one
knows. He has his career back that he lost it in the stipulation at the pay-per-view.
It's never explained what happens and how he got money and how he got back. But supposedly it was some sort of loophole that was found by somebody. So now he's back in WCW, okay? All right, so on Nitro, they have, you know, a match between the Steiners. They beat the Public Enemy. Benoit beats Dave Taylor. Flair beats VK Wall Street. And finally, the Giant wrestles Lex Luger, but it's only a double countout.
Yeah, this is when Luger went through the table. This is the one where Luger went through the table. And this
then Luger got choked left through the table.
This is so awesome. They were showing footage of Luger. He camped out, like, the week before in front of the building.
Yes, that's exactly
and it was like one of those, you know, one of those openings to like one of the newer Star Wars movies where you see people camped out, and he's like sitting there. He's just sitting there, and it's, you know, he's got this little chair there. I think he had a tent or something set up. It was so good looking.
But it was awesome that Luger was trying to prove that he's a good friend to Sting.
Yeah, he camped out.
The man is a millionaire. He couldn't get a hotel in that town.
He had to get a hotel and a wake-up call, I guess.
Yes, he could not get a... You know, there wasn't a taxi available. He couldn't get a limo. No, but he camped out. Which is this is amazing stuff. You know, the people writing this stuff, I mean, it's great, hilarious, just awesome stuff. And, you know, I'm just very...
God,
very
wrestling's so stupid.
It's so dumb, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's one of the reasons we like it. That's why I don't watch... I don't watch Keep Up UFC. You don't see good shit like this on UFC. Fuck that.
No! You never see Chuck Liddell homeless and
everybody's
a mystery benefactor give some The check? No,
everybody's
too
serious on USA. I don't want to watch that shit.
All right. Let's go to. So we have.
And what? Okay, we're at Slamboree now, right?
Yes, we're at Slamboree. Yes.
Okay, and you know I always liked this gimmick, the Slamboree gimmick. I mean the Battle Bowl gimmick. Because
yeah,
that was good.
Too.
I thought it was a good concept. I think they. But if you recall this year, they did it a little bit better because you remember every week they announced teams and matches on Nitro instead of waiting the night of to announce all the
yes.
teams and matches, which would probably be a better concept for a pay-per-view to get, you know, people aren't going to normally buy something if they don't know what's on it. So this was a, yeah, so I think they did it pretty good here.
Yes, it was done very, very different. I mean, one thing that should be noted was like there was like a short-lived tag team that was in the main event of the Shark and Max, who Max was DDP's
bodybuilder
friend or something.
Max Muscle.
Yes, Max Muscle. And I believe this was the Shark's last appearance that I remember. All right.
No, remember, because he feuded with Bubba coming up when he shaved his head.
Oh, yeah. So this was his return then, maybe.
Might have been.
Yes, because you're going to get a legendary Shark interview coming up these next couple of weeks. I'm not a man, or I'm not a shark, I'm a man. Okay. All right.
And the Giant even attacked, this was the Shark's babyface turn right here, as a matter of fact. Because
yes.
he went after... The Shark went after Jimmy Hart at the end of the match, and Giant came out and nailed him with the choke slam. So this was his babyface turn.
Well, you're right. I was very, very wrong on that. I apologize, everybody. Wow. All right, so Lethal Lottery has a bunch of matches, and I'll just read through them because, I mean, honestly, none of these matches are very noteworthy, with the exception of, there's Road Warrior Animal and Booker T beat. Or no, there was a double countout with Rip Warrior Hawk and Lex Luger, and this was it for the Road Warriors. They left.
Yeah, they were done after this.
They were going to WWF.
They went to WWF in 97, so in like early 97, and I think the deal was they had some kind of a deal like In Japan, they were real popular in Japan. They had some kind of a merchandise deal, not so much with the wrestling over in Japan, but just like as celebrities over there. And something happened with the Road Warriors and Bischoff or something, and that's what led them leaving. So
yes,
and of course they have them on
opposite
sides in this match, and we never get to see them wrestle.
They never touched. And then the Public Enemy beat Benoit and Kevin Sullivan. And this is like considered like, you know, an upset because those are two upper echelon guys. But Kevin Sullivan and Chris Benoit, this is kind of what started their feud.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Sullivan had feuded with Brian Pillman, but then Benoit and Kevin Sullivan started feuding because of this, because Kevin Sullivan actually held down Benoit so one of the Public Enemies could do a move to him through a table. And then...
You would have forgot that Benoit was a horseman at this time. Saw them together.
Yes, you never ever saw them together. You would soon enough, but not at this point. You kind of would have forgotten him.
I think Benoit was more. It was the Benoit Sullivan thing was more that he wasn't happy with the association with the horseman and Dungeon of Doom, and kind of playing the Brian Pillman role just a little bit. You know, it's kind
wasn't
of like that.
Wasn't he doing a lot of Japanese tours at this time, though?
Yeah.
I think that's why he really wasn't around.
Yeah.
And then Rick Steiner and the Booty Man beat Scott Steiner and Pitbull Pittman. And the Steiners actually locked it up a little bit in this.
Yeah.
Which was cool. Yes. It was a very random match. DK Wall Street and Jim Duggan, who had been feuding on Worldwide for the last... since they both came to WCW. I mean, they probably had 100 matches in WCW on Worldwide or Saturday Night. Beat Lord Steven Regal and Dave Taylor. And it was so weird that they put over DK Wall Street in this match because I couldn't recall a single time besides this that he won a match. Never. And, of course, Duggan beat him because he hit him with that taped fist. Dick Slater and Bobby Eaton beat Alex Wright and Disco Inferno. DDP and the Barbarian defeated Ming and Hugh Morris. And,
what a lineup of talent in your battle bowl here.
Yes, yes. Fire and Ice happened to draw each other as partners, beat Big Bubba and Stevie Ray because, you know, they're partners already. And this is a kind of a goofy one. Poor Eddie Guerrero, by the way. It's Ric Flair and Randy Savage against Arn Anderson and Eddie Guerrero. And what ends up happening is Arn Anderson turns on his own partner and then threw Randy Savage into the ring post, and then Ric Flair, you know, beats Eddie Guerrero. And then they had a cruiserweight match, and this is proof that they didn't take the title seriously at first. They had Dean Malenko beat Brad Armstrong in this cruiserweight title match. I guess that makes sense considering Brad Armstrong was the last light heavyweight champion, but Brad Armstrong had not been seen in WCW in any sort of a capacity level that would make anybody think that he's like a main eventer. Or not necessarily a main eventer, but like a contender for a title. In how, I mean, how many years do you honestly think? 93?
He was doing 94? Jobs like in 94.
Yes. So, I mean, he had not been anywhere.
But I was happy to see him in this match because, you know.
Of course.
Two great technical wrestlers, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun stuff. It's fun stuff. They had Dick Slater and Bobby Eaton defeat the King of Wall Street and Jim Duggan. And Duggan and Wall Street. So this Lethal Lottery, because I think what they were doing is they were trying to fill in, because this pay-per-view had nothing. They had no stars. They had no matches built up. And
yeah.
So I think they were just filling this up with matches, because like, this is the first time they actually did two rounds of Lethal Lottery.
Yeah, that's right. Right, they had matches and they had two rounds. That's right.
Yes, Public Enemy beat Flair and Savage by forfeit. DDP and Barbarian beat Booty Man and Rick Steiner. And then Conan beat Jushin Liger with the Space Mountain. Splash Mountain, sorry. One thing I never understood was Jushin Liger, why would he get the title shot? He just wrestled.
And lost.
And lost to Dean Malenko.
I don't know. It's one of those wrestling things again.
No idea. All right, and walk us through that battle royal.
Okay, let's look at the crew of people we have in this battle royal right here. Because this is like just the oddest bunch to be competing for a title shot. We got the Public Enemy, Scott Norton and Ice Train, Bobby Eaton, and Dick Slater. I mean, this is, and DDP, that's it. And let's see, who, Rocky Rock got eliminated by the Barbarian, Eaton by Slater, and it's when Slater actually hit Eaton. And then I think after this, Colonel Parker like slapped Jeeves or something on the floor just because his guy got eliminated or something. And Eaton punched Parker on the floor. And Slater by, well, it says Slater by question mark, so nobody caught that one. Norton by Page then pinned Grunge with the Diamond Cutter. You could do pins in this match, apparently. Then Paige pinned Ice Train with the Diamond Cutter. Paige then pinned Barbarian with the... I remember the last couple of minutes of this was pretty damn good, because Paige went on a roll with that Diamond Cutter and was beating everybody. He nailed, like, three guys with Diamond Cutter, like, in a row, pinned two of them, and then when he went to get, like, the final pin on Barbarian, Barbarian kicked out, and then he nailed him with another Diamond Cutter and got the pin. So it was pretty good at the end there.
Yes, but the thing... this Lord of the Ring ring was really only good if you think about the level of competition that's in the actual battle royal match. And there was nobody really in there. I mean, it was just a bunch of jobbers. And
when I saw that he won this, I said, DDP ain't getting no title shot. Because to me, he was still like bottom of the card.
Yes, DDP is the top of the bottom. And then...
We should also mention during this that there was an interview with Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. That where Flair's going on about Savage. You know, Savage has been carried out of the building, has been arrested again. And then he starts making comments about Deborah McMichael. And then Steve McMichael comes out. And then Flair makes a challenge. You go get any retired football player you want to be your partner. So he brings out Kevin Green, who's, of course, had played in the Super Bowl that year, I believe. And so they do the challenge, and that's where they make the match for next month at the Great American Bash.
Yes, which is we will definitely get. We'll definitely have to. We'll be doing NWO and Great American Bash next week.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think we can get into it this week because we only have a couple of minutes left on the show.
Yeah.
So we might as well finish up with this title match right now.
Yeah, the Giant pinned Sting with the choke slam after Sting was struck in the head with Hart's megaphone. As Luger and Hart were handcuffed together, and they began fighting for the weapon. And this is another word. I think they made it look like Luger hit Sting with the megaphone, even though he didn't. So they keep that going.
Yes, they're still keeping this long, long, long storyline going. But it's still great. It's a really good storyline, and you know, I was very happy that, you know, they went with it. It was awesome. So WCW, at this time, right now they don't have Hogan. The main event picture is kind of like a Giant versus Sting and Luger, you know, and then there's kind of a little bit of dissension between the Horsemen and the Dungeons of Doom. And a lot of good stuff is coming these next couple of months. And the next two pay-per-views we will cover when we start our show next week will be Great American Bash and Bash of the Beach, 1996. And those are possibly two of the greatest WCW shows they ever had. They're both great, great shows. We'll go over them. Anybody that has a chance, check out some of those shows this week. So, you know, like, look on YouTube. Check out some of the matches from those shows, Bash of the Beach, 1996, and Great American Bash, 1996, because you should really check out those matches. They're great. We'll talk about them next week because it's just awesome. It's just really good stuff, and, you know, everybody will definitely enjoy it. So I think we should probably, you know, cut the show off here. We'll begin with the good stuff and get through, you know, what we have to look forward to next week. We have those two pay-per-views. We're going to have the birth of the NWO, which is one of the biggest storylines in the history of wrestling, and, you know, just a lot of good stuff coming. And I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
If you guys want to download this show, don't forget to go to our host website, which is superfriendsuniverse.com. Check out our show and all the other great shows on that website. And thanks to everybody that was in the chat this week. We really appreciate it. Be sure to come chat next week. And, you know, especially BR26 was in there. And, of course, my buddy Wonk was also in the chat this week. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, that called in. And anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.